Okay. I've been, I think, with the Lord's leading, been thinking about a particular topic that I thought that has been a blessing to me, and I thought it would be a blessing to all of you too. The first thing you're going to say is, how come you're telling us instead of telling the young people? It's the young people that need to hear this. Well, we're all younger than Methuselah, so we're young people. The topic that I want us to look at out of the Word tonight is, how do you find the will of God? Finding the will of God for your life. That's what all the teenagers, it seems like, want to hear. But of course, we adults don't need to know because we've made all the important decisions, right? Well, education, vocation, marriage, location, job or business, change of job, change of location. When should we retire? Should we move into assisted living? When? A tough one for me sometimes is, should I offer advice to people? You know, people don't even accept advice when they ask for it. And so when you offer it and it's unsolicited, it's very unlikely to be followed. And it's not even necessarily likely to be followed when it is asked for, because a lot of times when people ask for advice, they're just looking for an echo. Okay, somebody who will tell them what they already think. And it's hard to know. What advice should you give if you do? What advice should you look for and take? I think all of these things are bound up in finding the will of God for your life. I want to try to answer two questions before we're done tonight. Big topic, short answers, hang on to your seatbelts. Does God have a specific will for your life? Or does he just have a general will for your life? And if he has a specific will for your life, how do you find it? Well, I think most of us grew up with the notion that God does have a specific will for your life and that it's our job to try to figure out what it is. Not everybody believes that. There was a book that was very popular back in the 1980s. It's just many new evangelicals swallowed this, and it was a very popular idea. The book was by a guy named Gary Friesen, and it's called Decision Making in the Will of God. He looked at the verses in the New Testament, and he said, these verses aren't about, concerning the will of God, these verses aren't about finding the specific thing God wants you to do. These verses are about the moral will of God. The will of God that we should do right, that we should obey the moral commands of the Word of God. And the promises that we have and the injunctions we have about finding the will of God concern doing right as opposed to what job should I take? Where should I get my education? Who should I marry? And the idea is that if it doesn't break the Ten Commandments, then God's okay with it. You got a lot of possible selections for a mate. Pick out the one you like, and whatever you pick out, God's good with it. As long as your spouse is a Christian, fine. And in some ways, he's got a point. Think about Romans 12, 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What's the will of God there? The will of God is not being conformed to the world. That's moral. That's not what job you should offer, you should accept. It's not what it's talking about. There are a lot of other places, too, that we could look. First Thessalonians. First Thessalonians 4:2. For you know what commandments we gave to you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. So what's the will of God? Be holy. Okay. 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Okay. What's God's will? That you should give thanks. You can write down Ephesians 5:17 if you want to, but does this mean that God's will only relates to moral things? To this I say no. Look at Romans 1:10. Romans 1:10. Making requests, says the Apostle Paul, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Would it violate the Ten Commandments if he didn't go to Rome? Would it violate the Ten Commandments if he did go to Rome? Okay? This is not God's moral will. This is God's directive will, and it's about geographical location and mission. And so there is such a thing in the New Testament as God's specific will. Turn to James 4. I was afraid that Ron was going to steal my thunder when he talked about this verse, but he didn't. So, James 4:13, go to now ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Well, our first thought here is God is the one who determines the length of our lives. And that idea is certainly here. I mean, it's pretty obvious that it is. If God says, okay, I'm going to take you home now, not next week, but now, then any plans you made for next week are off because you're gone. And for us to boast about tomorrow, you know not what a day may bring forth, as the Lord Jesus said. Remember the parable about the rich fool who had all these plans for how he's going to tear down his barns and build bigger barns, and he's got a big harvest coming in, and he's going to be able to retire after this. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said, you're a fool, and your soul will be required of you tonight. Well, as I said, this certainly means we shouldn't be presumptuous. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. When we boast of tomorrow, But I think there's more to it than that. The word will here, there's more than one word for will in the New Testament. And there's one word for will that we find in places like in Acts 2, where it says that Christ was delivered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. That word counsel can be translated will. And when you use that word of the will of God, the idea is God determined something's going to happen, nothing's going to change it. Jesus was delivered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Nothing was going to change that because God determined it was so. But does God want things to happen that don't happen? Happens all the time, unfortunately. 1 Timothy 2, 3, and 4. We're to pray for kings and those in authority. And because God is the kind of God that will have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That word translated will there is the same one that's here. It's something that God wants to happen that may or may not happen. And when you look at it this way, then you can see that maybe there's an aspect to this where our first consideration when we make plans is what does God want to happen? Now, is there anything morally wrong with going to such a city? No. Is there anything wrong with staying there for a year? Is there anything wrong with buying and selling? Is there anything wrong with getting gain? No, none of that's against the Ten Commandments. But we ought not to say that we're going to do this because we plan to do this. Our first consideration should be, is this what God wants? And maybe morally right, but if God doesn't want you to do that, then it's not right. So the bottom line is that our first concern should always be in our planning, what does God want? Now, assuming, which I think we should, that God has a specific directive will for your life, the question is how to find it. And the first thing I'd like to say is by way of encouragement, I believe that it's harder to miss God's will than it is to find it, if you want it. The main qualification is that you got to want it. Turn to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Now, this is one of those references that somebody like Gary Friesen would say, see, this isn't God. This passage doesn't say God has a specific will for your life, just general. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Literally, he shall make your paths smooth. Doesn't say he's going to tell you where to go. It's just wherever you go, if you meet the qualifications, then your way is going to be smooth. Well, I think that misses the point. But let me give you an illustration. There's a business college, that invited Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, who were at the time probably the two richest men in the world, to come and talk with their MBA candidates, Master of Business Administration. So here's all these, and this was broadcast on PBS, I think, if I remember right. So here's all these college students. They're going into business. That's their ambition. And they've got a chance to talk to Bill Gates and Warren Buffett. Bill Gates is not a software genius. He's a business genius, folks. Okay? His software may not be that hot, but he sure knew how to make money. So they've all got this was before notebook computers. They've all got their clipboards, and they're taking notes, and they've all got their questions ready, and they hang on every word, okay? They're taking, when it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, that's in all thy ways take knowledge of him. Figure out what he's thinking. That's what that's talking about. Get to know God. Get to know what he wants. And if you get to know what he wants, in a general way, it's a lot easier to figure out what he wants to do specifically in your life. And when you're on the beam that way, then your path will be smooth. It will be smooth because you're doing the right thing for the right reason. And you're taking the right path. Now, when Jonah went to Nineveh, did he go to Nineveh in the will of God? Yes, he did. He had a rotten attitude. The message he preached was a few words shy of what God wanted. God wanted them to know that if they repented, then there wouldn't be any judgment. And he didn't tell that part. But fortunately, the people, the Ninevites, figured it out that God wouldn't be telling us this and warning us about this if there wasn't a chance that we could repent and change the outcome. And so they did. So he went to Nineveh in the will of God, but God didn't make his way smooth, did he? It was rough sledding. Now, there are a lot of mistakes we can make. We say, where does God reveal his word? Well, he reveals his word in the Bible, but how does he reveal his word in the Bible? John and Charles Wesley had the custom of just letting their Bible fall open with their eyes closed and then put their finger down on a verse, and that would be God's direction. And they were considering doing something, and so they sought God's direction in this way, and the verse was something about, you shall lose the delight of your eyes. Maybe it was in Ezekiel. Okay. And so John is the one who put his finger on the verse, and they came to the conclusion that if they did this thing they were considering, that the delight of his eyes was his brother Charles, so Charles was going to die. Well, they thought about it a while longer, and they decided to go ahead and do it anyway. What they decided to do was open-air preaching, because they weren't allowed to go into the churches to preach. It was a huge success, and both of them lived into their 80s, okay? Don't use the Bible as a Ouija board. Now, something that makes a little bit more sense, only a little bit more. An acquaintance of mine believed he was called to the mission field, and he volunteered for missionary service. He was in missionary camp with a missionary agency, and they said, you've got to make up your mind what field you're going to. So he said, I'm going to get on my knees before the Lord. I'm going to read my Bible. And he came to the verse, go tell this people, Isaiah 6. And he just heard a presentation about a particular African country, and he thought, that's it, that's God's direction for me. I'm going to go to that African country because that's what God wants me to do. Go tell this people, and this people must be the people of that African country that I'm thinking about. Well, he went on deputation, and guess what? The country was closed, they didn't allow any missionaries in, and as far as I know, he never went there. He went to Eastern Europe instead and he's retired now, and he had very successful missionary service in Eastern Europe after the walls of communism fell. Now, I don't think his method for finding the will of God was very good. But he did get in the right place, doing the right thing, because that's what he wanted. And one way or another, God got him to that spot, even though his method may have been a little bit flawed. So don't use your Bible like a Ouija board. Another thing that can be dangerous is putting out a fleece. And I got to be real careful about saying this because I've sort of done it myself. But you got to be really careful. Here's a young lady, single young lady, and there's a guy who's after her. And she's considering, should I date this guy? Should I marry him? And so she said, God, you know how much I love flowers. And I pray that if you want me to marry this guy, that he should send me flowers. And it wasn't but a couple of days later, and guess what? He sent her flowers. So she decided it was the will of God for her to marry him, and she did. But you know what? She didn't really need to put out any fleeces. You know why? Her father was against it. Her mother was against it. Her pastor was against it. Her sisters and brothers were all against it. The guy had been married and divorced 3 times, and the first woman that he was married to was her older sister. She already had plenty of direction. There was plenty enough in the Bible to tell her, and as you would guess, they had, what, 3 children, I think? And he deserted her, left her. Okay. Now, I think that we can pray maybe in connection with the direction that we think God may be leading us, that if he really wants us to go in that direction, that he would do something to open the way. Like, for instance, God, I don't have the money to do this. If you want me to do it, would you provide the money? I think you can pray things like that. But be careful of fleeces, because a lot of times God's will is pretty clear without it. Cultivate wisdom. Study the book of Proverbs. God directs us a lot of times to his specific will just by understanding how God thinks and what God desires. Get advice from mature Christians, not just from your peers who tell you what you want to hear. Young man in our church in Hungary is an engineer. And he could have gone to Budapest and gotten a better job and earned more money, but he wanted to stay in our church, and I think he was well motivated in that. So he was looking for a job in our church, or in our city, so that he can remain serving in our church. Good thing. And he found a job. It was a good paying job. It was right up his alley. But one of the mature Christians in the church took him aside and said, "Arpy, think about this real hard. You can't do this." The job was working in a cigarette factory. Now, he doesn't smoke, but really, do you want to help people sin and die because they're smoking cigarettes? Do you want to help that industry? He didn't take that job. Instead, he has a job in the local power plant, and he's in charge of 2 huge boilers, and boilers are his specialty. He loves his job, and he's making good money, and he's still serving in the church. Plan. Proverbs 21:5. Think about it. Remember what James said about go to now, ye that say, Proverbs 21:5. The people James is talking about are people who planned leaving God out of their plans. It wasn't the plans that were wrong. It was not considering God first and what God wanted. The opposite here is 21:5. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. Everyone that is hasty is only to want. This is saying that God is going to bless you if you plan. Okay, as long as your plans are in the will of God. Where's the verse that says, commit your way to the Lord and your thoughts shall be established. Thoughts there are plans. So, if you really want God's will, if you consider Him first, it's harder to get out of the will of God than it is to get into it. And if you get out of it, God will get you back in. Many decisions have moral dimensions, like the one about working in the cigarette factory. How about a job that requires you to miss church every Sunday? Is that a job you want to take? It may be a perfectly legitimate thing to do. It may not be against the Ten Commandments. But is that really good for you spiritually? Is it good for a man to take a job that requires him to be away from his family for great lengths of time? Our granddaughter announced to me that someday her father was going to be a general. And I said, no, he's not. Generals never see their children. And your dad wants to see you. He wants to be with you. He's not going to be a general. Do you truly desire the will of God? If you do, you'll find it. Let's pray. I thank you, God, that you care about each one of us, that you know everything beforehand, that you know what's best for us. I pray that you'd help us to determine your direction in each of our lives, and that you would indeed prosper us as we consider you first. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.